I want to speak to you this morning from a little bit different topic, and it's this: the seduction of success. The seduction of success. And the subtitle is, Are You Successful? Are You Successful? It's something that I think we all want in life. We all strive for success and to be successful. And the problem is that success can be a real seduction according to the terms of the world in which we live. Are we successful in the world's eyes, or are we successful in God's eyes? Are we successful in others' eyes or in our own eyes? And herein lies part of the problem of the seduction of success. But what does success look like? What does success look like? First of all, does it look like a fancy car? You know? I mean, not many of us drive in Rolls these days, but, you know, I knew of a pastor out in California that drove a Rolls in one of the poorest areas of L.A., and I never understood how he could do that. He could have fed thousands of people with what he paid for the car, what was paid for the car that was bought for him, whatever. Well, is it a pile of money? Is that what it's all about, you know? Is that where we would get our contentment, our security? Is it a McMansion, you know? Is it some huge estate, you know? Is that what it's all about? Or is it fame, you know? Is it fame? We've got a lot of, you know, movie stars in years past, and now, you know, we call them idols, American idols, you know. And so what really does success look like? There are things that the world tells us that we need to be successful, things like we just viewed. However, I think truly successful things can't be seen at all. The truly successful things can't be seen at all. 2 Corinthians 4:18 tells us this: so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary. If you can see it, it's going to diminish. It's going to pass away. You know, Kathy and I bought a new car about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago now. And, you know, you got that new car smell. And, you know, my old car had like 168,000 miles on it, the old 4Runner and stuff. And it was a great vehicle, serviced us for many years. But, you know, it just, that doesn't do it, you know. It's fun for a little bit. But then, you know, you got to finish paying for that rascal, you know. So what you see is just temporary. But what is unseen, that is eternal. What you can't see, that's the eternal things. And that really would be, in my opinion, the successful things of life that we can collect. Colossians 3, beginning at verse 2, adds this: set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Now, the Lord tells us in the Gospels that the Lord knows that we have need of food, shelter, clothing, all that stuff. God knows that. But he says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Amen? So that's how we deal with that. But Paul says here, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Why? For you died. If you've received Christ as your Savior, we have died to ourselves, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Boy, there's no safer place to be. The Bible says our lives, our times are in God's hands. Amen? And so our life is hidden with Christ in God if we know Jesus as our Savior. And then he says in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life, or who is our life, appears, then you also appear with him in glory. That's the reward for living the life that Jesus asked us to live. One of my devotionals, Great is Thy Faithfulness, writes this: how we view popularity and success depends on what we value the most. I want to say that again. How we view popularity and success depends on what we value most. So again, the question, well, what do we value? Not only what does success look like, but what do we value that would make us successful if we have it? Then he continues with this: if we set our hearts on earthly things, we will eventually be disappointed. Earthly things will always disappoint. That's why Moses chose to suffer affliction with the children of Israel rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for just a season, for just a little while. Amen? So it's important that we realize that if we set our hearts on this earth and the things of this earth, eventually we're gonna be disappointed that we did it. But if we set our hearts on Christ and live for Him, we will find that He, Jesus, is faithful to provide for our every need. My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches and glory in and through Christ Jesus. We need to reimagine what success is. Let's don't go by what the world says is successful, but let's go by what the Word says is successful. Amen? And that's what we need. And so it starts by taking God at His Word, claiming His promises, living by His commandments, and what He's asking us to do. Another devotional, Daily Wisdom for Men, writes this: God made Abraham very successful. Would you agree with that? But why? Is it because he just had a bunch of stuff? He had a lot of herds. He had a lot of flocks. He had a lot of gold and silver that he had accumulated. He had servants. He had all kinds of stuff. But what really made Abraham successful? It was the fact that he was called a friend of God. He was a friend of God. And if you and I know Jesus, we can say we also are a friend of God. Jesus said, I no longer call you servants, but I call you friends. Amen? He says, because a servant doesn't know the master's business. But he said, I've revealed everything that the Father has told me. Jesus said, I've revealed it to you. So we can be a friend of God just like Abraham. That's what made him so successful. God also granted Abraham's servant success. In Genesis 24, it's the story where Abraham sends his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. And the success was is that the servant found the exact young lady that God had handpicked for Isaac to marry. And she became part of the lineage all the way to Christ. A few generations later, God made Joseph extremely successful. We know his story. 4 centuries later, Moses talked about God's desire to make his people successful, but also prosperous. 6 centuries later, God made David extremely successful as well. I want us to take a look briefly at his life for just a moment. 1 Samuel chapter 18, verse 5 tells us this: whatever Saul sent him to do, David did it so successfully that Saul gave him a high rank in the army. This pleased all the people and Saul's officers as well. He was blessed in that way, made successful in that way. Verse 14 of that same chapter adds this: in everything David did, he had great success. Why? Why was he successful? Because the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him. That is real success. Because we have Christ as Savior, because we have God as our Father, because we have the Holy Spirit living inside of us since we've accepted Christ as our Savior, we have God with us as well. And that makes us very successful. You can't see that, but it's in us. Amen? And then in verse 30, the same chapter, we're told this: David met with more success than all the rest of Saul's officers, and his name became well known. His name became well known because God was with him. And then, as we well know, that success filtered down to his son Solomon. So if you have your Bibles, or if you don't, there's one in front of you. 1 Kings chapter 3. I don't think this is on the screen, so follow with me in your Bible. 1 Kings chapter 3, and one verse there to begin. Verse number 5. It's the story where Solomon is sacrificing all kinds of things to God. He had just become king to fulfill prophecy that David would have an heir to follow him. And Solomon was the one handpicked by God to be that king. And so verse 5 says this: at Gibeon, where he's sacrificing to the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream. And God said this, ask this question: ask for whatever you want me to give you. What do you want me to give you, Solomon? What do you want? I'll give you whatever you ask for. What would you ask God for? In terms for you to be successful, what do you think you would ask God for? Oh, God, I want to be successful. You know, I want you to be pleased with me. I want you to be proud of me. So what would you ask for to make you think that God would feel that way towards you? What would make you successful? God says, ask for whatever you want. What do you want? Let's skip down to verse number 9, that same chapter. So Solomon gives him an answer. He says, so give your servant a discerning heart, a discerning mind to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. For who is able to govern this great people of yours? Very interesting. Solomon says, you know what I want? I need wisdom. I need to have a discerning mind so I can govern your people and I can know the difference between right and wrong. Because who can lead this great nation of yours without that kind of wisdom and direction? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but you're asking for discernment, wisdom in administering justice, I will do what you've asked. Wow. Solomon, I'm going to do exactly what you asked for. But also, I'm going to give you not only a wise and a discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I'm going to give you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that in your lifetime, underline those three words, in your lifetime, didn't say for all time, for all history, but he said in your lifetime, you will have no equal among kings. And if, there's that if word, if you walk in my ways and obey my statutes and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life. And all the other things that you didn't ask for, and that I'm telling you I'm going to give you, I'm also going to give you a long life if you obey me, if you follow me, if you serve me with all your heart. We talked a couple of weeks ago in the message, Senior Saints, on Grandparents' Day, how to live, how we can achieve a long life. There's things in Scripture that we went over that will help us to do that. This is what God promised Solomon. He said, if you obey me, I'll give you a long life as well. On top of everything else, you'll live long. Live long and prosper, right? Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 10. 1 Kings chapter 10, two verses there. Here's the fulfillment. Verse 23 of 1 Kings chapter 10. King Solomon was greater in riches and wisdom than all the other kings on the earth in his lifetime. Don't forget those three words from the other scripture. In his lifetime. Verse 24, the whole world sought audience with Solomon. Why? To hear the wisdom that God had put in his heart, in his mind. We know the story of the Queen of Sheba that traveled a great distance with a great caravan of all kinds of gifts that she brought to Solomon. And she asked him all types of hard questions, and he answered all of her questions. And so kings and queens, rulers from all over the world came to hear the wisdom that God had placed in Solomon's mind. And then look at this concerning King Hezekiah. 2 Kings chapter 18, this is back on the screen now, verse number 5, it says this, Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. That's a key for us to be successful. You've got to trust God. With Solomon, we learn we have to obey God. We have to be followers of his commands, keeping them, obeying them. Hezekiah trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. There was no one like him among all the kings of Judah, either before him or after him. Not just in his lifetime, like what God said about Solomon, but before or after, no king trusted in God like Hezekiah. Every recorded prayer in this Bible that Hezekiah prayed, God answered. He was a man of prayer, and God answered every single one that's listed in Scripture. God answered those prayers. No one like him. Verse 6, he held fast to the Lord. I like that. He held fast to the Lord. He locked in with God. Amen? And he did not cease to follow him. He never quit following the Lord. And then he says he kept the commands that the Lord had given Moses. And the Lord was with him. There's that word again, the Holy Spirit, God with him. And he was successful in whatever he undertook, because he trusted, because he obeyed, he followed the Lord wholeheartedly. And then in 2 Chronicles chapter 26, this is concerning King Uzziah, another king of Israel. It says this in verse 3, Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king. Now, there's a scary thought right there. How many of you want a 16-year-old running the country? You know, we got a 70-something-year-old right now, but a 16-year-old, my goodness, wow. And then it says that he reigned, even though he was that young, he reigned in Jerusalem for 52 years. The only other king that served longer than him was Manasseh, the son of the guy we just read about. And so he came in at an older age, but he lasted for 55 years, the longest reigning king in all of the history. And so get back here to Uzziah. It says his mother's name was Jechaliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. There's another key to being successful, is that we do what's right in the Lord's eyes. We don't do what's right in the world's eyes. I don't try to do what is right that I think in the church world's eyes even. You know, there's a lot of junk in some churches. There's a lot of junk in religion. More people have been killed over religion on this planet than any other thing. More religious wars, more death, more blood spilled because of religion. We don't need religion. We need relationship. We need a relationship with Jesus. And so it's so important that he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. That's what we should aspire to. Not what the world says, not what somebody else says, but what is right in the Lord's eyes. Just like he did it, just like his father Amaziah had done. Dads, there's no better example than for the example that you set before your kids and your grandkids. Mom as well, as a mom, set the example before your kids and your grandkids. Teach them what's right in the Lord's eyes. Then verse 5, it says, he sought God during the days of Zechariah. This king, Uzziah, not only had a father that had preceded him in power, that served the Lord, but now he's also being directed by a priest, and his name is Zechariah, who instructed him in the fear of God, the reverence of God, to be in awe of God, to do your best for God. This priest counseled him and mentored him, as we would say today. And then look at this. As long as he, Uzziah, sought the Lord, God gave him success. If you're seeking the Lord, you don't have to be perfect because none of us are. But if you're seeking the Lord, you're trying, you're doing your best, as long as you seek the Lord, God's going to help you. He's going to give you success. But you've got to have that desire to please him above everything and everyone else. We got to please the Lord. Yeah, it's great to please your mom and dad. There's a blessing for that. If you honor your mother and father, your days will be long upon the earth, the Bible says. The first commandment with a promise. But God wants us to seek him, and as we do, we'll be successful. David writes this in Psalm 20, verse 4. May God give you the desire of your heart and make all your plans succeed. Wow. That's a great prayer that David prayed over all of us that we can read in Scripture. May God, our God, David's God, may he give each one of us the desire of our heart, and may he make all of our plans succeed. The Bible says we make our plans, but it's ultimately the Lord that directs our steps. Amen? But you have to allow the Lord to direct your steps. You got to make it's a conscious decision that you're going to say yes to the Lord, to your will, to your ways, to your timing, not mine, but to yours. Regardless of what I'm planning, if it's in conflict with your plan, I don't want to do it. I don't want any part of it. but I want your plan to sustain me and to guide me. Then Solomon adds this in Proverbs 16:3. He says, commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. Just make a commitment to the Lord. Lord, I'm doing this as unto you. I'm working this job. I've got a boss, someone over me. I've got a business. I own this business, but I'm not really the boss. You're the boss. And so, Lord, I commit it all to you. And if we commit all that to the Lord, our lives, our time, our talents, our treasures, all that stuff, he said, if we commit it to the Lord, our plans will succeed because we want whatever he wants. Amen. We don't want what we want or what somebody else wants, what mama wants or daddy wants, but we want to do what the Lord wants for our lives. It's so important that we do that. And then Joshua, I love this. Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to begin at verse number 5. And God is speaking to him. Earlier in that chapter, he says, okay, Joshua, Moses is dead. He just comes out and just says, Moses is dead. You know, he's already dead and gone. And now, this is what I want you to know. No one, Joshua, will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. What a promise from God. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. God says, I was with Moses, I'm going to be with you. And God tells us in Scripture, I'm going to be with you even to the end of the ages. Amen. Never going to leave you, never going to forsake you. Be with you always. Verse 6, so Joshua, because of that, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to their forefathers to give them. God had given that job to Moses, and he went through a lot, but he disobeyed God in that one thing, that he struck the rock when God told him just to speak to the rock, and then the water came out, and he struck it in anger, and so he forfeited his opportunity to go to the promised land. Aren't you glad that the God of the New Testament, the New Covenant, is a lot more merciful than that old dude that in the Old Testament, you know? Oh, man, what a difference. Be strong and courageous, Joshua. You are the one that I picked to lead these people to inherit the land that I swore to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Don't turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Heed the word of the Lord. Be obedient to what he tells you to do, and success is going to automatically follow. Obedience is always followed by blessing. Amen? Obedience is always followed by blessing. We can just write that down. It's going to happen. And then it says this, do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night. Just let this word richly ruminate in your mind. Dwell on it. Meditate on it. In the daytime, in the nighttime, when your thoughts begin to wander, just bring them back. Focus, focus. You know, meditate on this word and follow it. Why? So that you may be careful to do everything written in it. So that you will do whatever's written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. I'm going to ask you again, are you successful? Are you following what the Lord has laid on your heart? Are you reading his word? Are you faithful in prayer? Are you faithful to God's house? Are you successful in the areas that really others may not see? They don't see you in that prayer closet. They don't see you maybe poring over the word of God. You've got a special place that you shut yourself in and you do that. Your kids need to see that. Your spouse needs to see that. That you've got a place where you get alone with God and you're interceding. You're interceding not for your own needs only, but for the needs of your family, for the needs of extended family, friends, even people you don't know, strangers that the Lord will bring across your path. Are you interceding for them, for souls that don't know Christ? Are you and I successful? Now let's turn to the book of Philippians. I think you have it on the screen. I'm going to get to it in my Bible here. Philippians and chapter number 2. And I've always loved this. We're going to begin at verse number 5. Paul is writing to the church in Philippi, and he says this. He says to that church and to our church this morning, your attitude, my attitude, should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature or in the form of God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing. He humbled himself, in other words. He made himself nothing, taking the very nature or the form of a servant, being made in human likeness, Emmanuel, God with us. And then it says, and being found in appearance as a man in that human likeness, he humbled himself and he became obedient to death, even death on a cross. He became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. That's what made Jesus successful. Even though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He became obedient even unto death on a cross. Verse 9, therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's real success. Amen? That's real success. That was his reward. 2 Timothy chapter 4, as we close, Paul is writing his last letter, and it's to the young man that he's mentored for a long time, and Timothy is pastoring a church that he and Paul established, and he writes to Timothy, and he says this, I am already being poured out like a drink offering. Jesus was obedient unto death on the cross. Paul says, I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. He said, Timothy, I'm about to leave this planet. The Holy Spirit has revealed to me that my time is up, just about up. I know I'm going to be killed, you know, by this emperor of Rome. And so I'm writing you this letter. The time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. Boy, you read about it throughout the New Testament, all the things that Paul went through. I finished the race. Guys, I want us to finish the race. I don't want us to quit. I want us to finish well. I want us to finish strong. We're living in the last days. And he that endureth to the end, that's who's going to be saved, the word tells us. He said, I finished the race, but through it all, I have kept the faith. I've kept the faith. This is the same guy I read to you earlier. He said, I've learned the secret of being content regardless of my circumstances, whether I'm well-fed or hungry, living in want, living in plenty, doesn't matter. I've learned this secret of contentment regardless of what's going on around me, regardless of how I feel, what I think, whether I'm glad, whether I'm sad, I'm content because I have Christ in me. I've kept the faith. Now, verse 8 says, because of all that, now there's in store for me. Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, because he saw what was ahead. He was going to be seated at the right hand of the Father. He knew that. He said, my Father told me I can lay my life down and I'm going to take it up again. I'm going to be resurrected. And he was. And so now we see, Paul says, now for me, there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Are you longing for his appearing? Are you longing for the soon return of Jesus? Is it something you're afraid of? Is it something you dread? Or is it something you want? Is it something that you're saying, even so come, Lord Jesus? Even so come, Lord Jesus. Don't delay. Come on. Come on. Catch us away. Get us out of this mess. But before you do, Lord, save our unsaved family, our friends, our loved ones. Bring in one last harvest before you come. Bring in one last revival of souls before you come. But then, even so, come, Lord Jesus. So in order to avoid the seduction of success and to be truly successful, I think we need to follow the example of some of these folks in Scripture that we've read about and we've talked about, but especially someone like Paul, and of course, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. If we follow those examples, we will be truly successful. And what people can't see is what's going to make us that success.